Corbin, Kentucky. Glad to be here. I've enjoyed the conference, been encouraged and strengthened, and just look forward to the other speakers today. Get my sermon out of the way, and I can sit down and relax and just be fed. That is something that I've realized as being a preacher and a pastor that I miss. I miss hearing God's word preached and proclaimed. And so I'm very thankful for the opportunities to be able to sit in a Bible conference like this. If you would go ahead and be turning with me to Ephesians chapter 1. The topic of my sermon this morning is going to be on adoption. And this is something that's been very dear to my heart lately because my wife and I are going through the adoption process. But as the Lord has opened my eyes and just pressed upon my heart the great realization that we are, as the children of God, the adopted children of God. And as we go through our sermon this morning, we're going to look at adoption in three different parts. We're going to look at the grace in adoption. We're going to look at sanctification in adoption. And then also the family in adoption. And I pray that God will bless you. And I'll try to stay on my time frame. And I realize that when I looked at the schedule a little bit ago, it said I got from 10 to 10:50. Thought I had 50 minutes, but then Garrett let me know that was wrong. I don't get 50 minutes, so yeah. But before we get started, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Fathers, we come before your throne. Lord, our petition this morning is that you would be glorified. Lord, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to understand the great things that you've done for us and how wonderful and amazing you are. Lord, we ask that you'd fill our hearts and our mouths with praise, that we would show forth to this lost and dying world how truly amazing you are and worthy of all our praise. Lord, we thank you for this great opportunity to have your word before us, for preserving it and keeping it for us. And Lord, without you, we acknowledge that we would be lost and utterly hopeless. So Lord, we just pray that you would be glorified this morning through all the speakers and through everything that is done. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We have been predestinated unto adoption, that God has predetermined that he was going to adopt us and who he was going to adopt. When I began the adoption process, and something that I've realized through it, and that you see the grace of God in adoption, in which I don't understand how those that don't hold to the grace of God can truly understand when it comes to adoption. In adoption process, you pick the child that you want to adopt. When you go to adopt, and I've heard many stories and stuff that there have been cases that adoptive parents have gone to a foreign country and they've gone into an orphanage and there are all the children. And that parent has chosen to go there. That parent has chosen to go that distance. And when they go to that orphanage, they go there and they pick the child that they want to adopt. They pick it. Is it any less with our God when it comes to his adoption of us? And when we look at it, we find that the scripture says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Our adoption wasn't because God had to do it. Our adoption wasn't because he was obligated. It was his will, his good pleasure. He says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. There was a man that was talking about his adopted daughter, and he had adopted her from China. And he said her favorite bedtime story was when he would get her down and lay her down, and she'd like, tell me the bedtime story. And I can't remember the little girl's name. It was Sophia or So-So or something around that. But she was like, tell me the story of so-and-so. And he would begin to tell the story of the process of going and getting this little daughter. And he'd tell it in such a way that he said, you know, we had to cross. There was a little princess. He'd call her his little princess. She was in a far, far away land. And he said, we had to cross this great water to go through it. And he'd share the experience and everything that they had to go through. And he said at the end, his little girl said, that's me. That's my story. And she loved it. And she loved that was her favorite story. And brother, when it comes to the grace of God and adoption, we also have an amazing story. We have a story of God crossing a divide that is unfathomable. That how God became man and dwelt among us, all for the purpose of adopting us. Oh, his love. And this is our story. And I love, as we sing that song, I love to tell the story. Oh, our Lord has gone through such great, great obstacles to adopt us. You know that today, and there is it is hard and expensive to adopt children. There are children all over the world that need homes, and you can't go and get them and bring them home. It's not that easy. There are, in Muslim countries, I don't know if you've ever studied, there is no adoption in Muslim countries. You can't adopt. And it comes all the way back to Muhammad, their prophet. The story is that Muhammad, that he had an adopted son. And one day he walked by the tent of his adopted son, and the curtain blew open, and his adopted son's wife was there standing at the curtain. And Muhammad saw her beauty, and he was amazed at her beauty, and she invited him into her tent. And he said, no, it wouldn't be proper. And so he went on. And when the adopted son came home, the wife told the adopted son what happened. So he went to Muhammad and said to Muhammad, he said, if my wife pleases you, you can have her. But in that custom, even then, it was improper for the father to take the wife of the son. So what happened? He had a revelation from God. There is no adoption. He disannulled the adoption of his son and then married a daughter. To this day, in the Muslim culture, you cannot adopt. They can never take your last name into their culture because of that. And they're opposed to Americans coming in and adopting their children. Is that the story of God, our Father? Our story is a story of adoption that has taken place and has cost our Lord. It cost him. How much did it cost him? His only begotten Son. His blood. His sacrifice. When you behold this and you see the grace in adoption, and you see adoption as it is, and you understand the process of adoption, it is clear that God's grace is evident there. And those that do not hold and believe to the grace of God, as we understand it, as the Bible proclaims it, they miss that wonderful picture of God's grace in adoption, and they do not truly understand it. Secondly, what I want to share with you is sanctification and adoption. And sanctification, the simple meaning of sanctification is the setting apart of us from this world, to sanctify us, to set us apart. There's a reason for that. There's a cause for that. And in adoption, there was a man that was talking about he went to Russia, and he adopted two Russian boys. And everybody that he came in contact with, they kept asking him, they said, well, are you going to keep their Russian heritage? Are you going to teach them about all the Russian, you know, things and Russian ways and stuff? And he's like, no, he said, they're going to have my heritage. I'm going to bring them in, and they're going to be my children. And they're going to like the foods that I like. They're going to like the things that I like. And, you know, if they want to study about that later on, that's fine. But they're my children. And the thing is that when God adopts us into his family, when he brings us and makes us his children, how much of this world does he want to leave and teach us about and share with us and that we can keep as our heritage? None of it. None of it. And that's what sanctification is. Look over in Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 26. And then we'll tie this in as Peter quotes from in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 26. It says, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from the people, that ye should be mine." Amen. You should be mine. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, as Peter quotes from that, he simply says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." But you must associate this association that we have with God. That he's just not saying, just be like me. He is saying, you are mine. I have adopted you into my family. You are my child. Be like me. Follow in my footsteps. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And you don't understand this if you don't see your relationship with God in connection to this. How many of you have seen children as they like to mimic their parents? You know, that you'll see a little boy and he wants work boots on just like his dad's work boots. They want to be just like their fathers. Or little girls want to be just like their mothers. And here as we see that God is our Father, our adopted Father. And we want to be just like Him. And that's what sanctification is. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, this one, it makes sense because, bear with me as I turn there. If you don't apply it to your relationship with God, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That connection that you have as a child of God is directly connected to God your Father. That what they see in you as your good works, they are seeing God the Father in you. They are seeing you be like God. And when he says, "Behold my Son, in whom I am well pleased," what we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of what pleases God. What God has given to us to show us how we are to live, to serve, and be like him. When our Lord was with his disciples, and one of his disciples said, "Show us the Father." And he said, "Have I been long with you so long time?" He said, "You see me, you see the Father." And in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ever heard the expression that, you know, some kids, "Why can't you be like your older brother?" Well, in a sense, God has given us that perfect example in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as an example of the way that we should walk. Of course, we know the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just an example of how to save us. He saved us by his atoning work on the death on the cross. But in his commandments, in our sanctification, in our setting apart of the world, we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his commandments, in his examples given to us, that is written, preserved for us, we have a way in which we see how we should live and follow, that we can be more like our Father, more like God. Be holy, for I am holy. These boys that he adopted from Russia, he said what was amazing, that here he went into this orphanage, and these children were laying in their cribs. They were abandoned, hardly ever fooled with. He said they were laying in their filth. And he said they picked him up, and they was taking him out. And he said this is the day they was getting ready. They was taking him out of the orphanage, going home with him. He said they picked him up, and they were leaving the orphanage. And he said the children began to start crying. And he couldn't imagine it. He said, here we are. We're taking you out of your filthy crib, out of your abandonment that you've been laying in. And as you're leaving, they're crying because they're leaving what they know and what they're used to and what they want to stay there. The sad thing is that in many Christians' lives, as God begins to sanctify them, remove things from their life that doesn't need to be there, set them apart from this world, they behave just like those same children, whining and crying. When God has something so much better planned and set aside for us, he has taken us to a higher place than we've ever could have imagined. In this life, his plan and his purpose in our life, which will be accomplished, is so far better than what we ever wished for and could imagine. We're like those children that's laying in that crib, and we think we know what we want, and we don't even know what's outside there. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I know in my personal life that there have been things that I've been heartbroken about that God has taken away from me. And then later on in life, look back and say, wow, Lord, what you brought in my life was so, so much. Will we not trust our Father? Trust in what he has prepared and what he has preserved and kept for us and what he has in store for us. Trust him as Job and all of our other fathers of faith that we can look to that believed and trusted in him no matter what happened. No matter what this world would happen as far as them dying or losing their families. That they trusted him, they knew that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love the Lord. That God is working everything. If you grasp this relationship and you view it in that sense, that he is your Father and he wants you to be like him, and he will make you like him one day. When Jesus Christ returns, we'll be just like him. And that relationship that we have, that we are his adopted children, and he is molding us and shaping us into his very image. That no matter what comes in your life, that you say, Father, I'm going to trust you. There have been many children that don't trust their parents. And because when their parents tell them to do something, they don't follow it. They don't have confidence in it. Young people that are looking for a spouse, go to your parents and ask them what they think about the person you're interested in. Trust your parents' older judgment. Trust God. And if you view yourself as his adopted child, as the Bible clearly reveals to us in this case, you can very easily. Next, thirdly, is family and adoption. We ask this question, is this adoption real? Is it really a family? Are we really the children of God? I have a family that they have adopted two little girls. And they have two biological children. And they have three biological children. They have two boys and one girl. So in their family, they have two boys and three girls, but two of the girls are adopted, and they're minority girls. They look much different than the rest of the family. They went to a restaurant, and as they were sitting down at the restaurant, their waiter, the mother is pregnant at this time with another child. So they had the five children, and she's pregnant and going to be having the sixth child. And the waiter starts up the conversation. He asks him, he says, well, you know, it's going to be a girl. And he says, because you have two boys and then you need two girls. And there they were sitting right there with their two other adopted daughters. And he knew they were adopted. But he disassociated them with their family altogether because he didn't consider them really their children. Not really their children. Are we really the children of God? Is this adoption really make us the children of God? In Galatians chapter 4, if you turn over there, you know, and I've talked to different families that have experienced adoption in our world in different senses, and some of them say, you know, oh, your adopted children are never the same as your biological children, and they have adopted older children, and so they have a closer relationship with the children they've raised from birth, and then there's others I spoke to that say there's no difference in our family, you know, as far as the adopted children. But in our context here, what about God? And our relationship with God is his adopted children. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, to redeem them that were under the curse, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The cost and the redemption had to take place before we could become the sons of God, to make it legal. He says, to redeem them that were under the curse, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And he says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore there art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is real. We are the children of God. And he says it's so real that when he sent his Spirit into our hearts, his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and we cry, Abba, Father, like Papa. You know, my father, I'm very thankful that I have a good relationship with him. And, you know, at night, if something came up, I would never hesitate to think that I can just pick up the phone and call my dad. You know, I feel that he's always been there for me. How do you feel about your Heavenly Father? This Spirit that is, why do we call him Father? Is he the same to us just because he is the creator of all things that we call him Father? No. The Bible reveals to us that we are his adopted children, and so we call him Father. To the Pharisees at one time, he says, if God was your father, you would love me. But you're of your father, the devil. We call him Father today because through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has adopted us into his family. And we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. A passage that many of y'all could probably quote. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. He says, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, there's been some times in my life that my brother's been ashamed to call me his brother. Probably, that's not my brother. Jesus Christ, who is perfect, holy, and wonderful. We have been sanctified from God the Father, set apart from this world. And it says that he is not ashamed to call us brother. How amazing is this? Is it really family? Does God really view us as his children? Does Jesus Christ really view us as his brethren? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. We look at him as our father, and we love him and we cherish him because he first loved us. And he went and paid the price and adopted us. and brought us into his family. And we are now the family of God, and we are the children of God. John chapter 20, verse 17. It's a wonderful passage of what our Lord told Martha. John chapter 20, verse 17. There's a woman that was there weeping. He said unto her, after the resurrection, and she did not know where they had buried him, or she didn't know where his body was, but anyway, Jesus appeared unto her, and this is what he says. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." And he says, "But go to my brethren. Go to my brethren." Is it really family? "Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Amen. And to my God and your God." The more the Lord has opened my eyes to see this, this relationship that we share with God in adoption and viewing ourselves as the children of God, if you truly grasp this, it will help you in understanding the grace of God, in understanding the doctrine of the grace in which God, he had set forth that it was his desire to adopt us, nobody else's. It was according to the pleasure of his good will that it all happened. And he set out to do it. And he accomplished it. You know, when I go to adopt a child, I don't have to ask that child if he wants me to adopt him. I don't have to get that child's permission to adopt it. That child doesn't know what's good for it, what's best for it. It's in our case, it's going to be an infant. When it comes to God bringing us into his family, he doesn't have to ask man's permission. He doesn't have to get man's permission. He didn't have to get anybody's permission. He accomplished it according to his will and according to his holy statute. And when you view it in accordance with sanctification and you realize that you are a child of God brought into his family, and he desires for you to be like him, and because he desires to be for you to be like him, he's going to make you like him. Our Father is a wonderful Father. He doesn't fail in raising his children. He's going to raise you in such a way through sanctification in this life. He's going to remove the temptations, the things of this world, the presence of sin in your life. He's going to remove it through sanctification and set you apart unto himself. And that's going to happen through the preaching of his word, through his studying, through all the trials and tribulations, the working of faith, the adding to faith, all these things that is taken into accord with sanctification is God making you more like him because you're his child. And he wants you to be holy just like him. And we'll find that we are in the family of God. This is true adoption. And you won't doubt it one bit when you realize that you are a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir. That we're going to inherit jointly with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't imagine that. I know I don't deserve it. And I know you don't deserve it. But that's the truth of God's word. Adopted children. And all that are here this morning that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are the adopted children in the family of God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not repented and believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, this adoption story doesn't apply to you just yet in your understanding. But the message is out there to whosoever desires. If you long for God to be your Father, if you long to be separated from this world through repentance and turning from your sins, if you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and also as your brother, the message is to come. Come. Repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. You know, when I begin to really view God as my Father and realize what He has done for me, it strengthens my relationship with Him in such an amazing way. And I can think of myself as that old prodigal son running to the Father and the Father receiving him. Our Lord that we serve is worthy of all our praise. He has done far more than what we can fathom. And someday we can just to be in His presence. I look forward to that. To be home. Home with our Father. If you view Him as your Father through adoption, you can say that I long to be home.
Thank you, Mason.